mountain, river, and plain, through wind and storm,
rides Anne of the Airlines. As Jack Baker pilots the transport ship over the Atlantic Ocean with Anne Burton stowed away in the baggage compartment, his friends back in Springfield are attempting the unraveling of the mystery of the disappearing radio room that apparently comes and goes at the command of the Doc, head of the diamond smuggling ring. Jack's brother Bobby has a clue to the mystery, and co-pilot Pete, with the assistance of Art Morrison and the newly found ally, Zeb Abercrombie, leave the airport to once more visit the hospital. Can it be that the link between the diamond mines and the hometown of Springfield is growing closer? Perhaps Bobby's clue of the Book of Magic will end in the roundup of the smugglers sooner than any of us expect. We shall see.
Gee, Zeb, you've been all over the world trying to find these smugglers, haven't you?
Well, not all over the world, sonny, but just about.
But this fella that limps, Zeb, you say you've seen him around before, huh?
Yes, Pete, and I'm not one to forget a person, not anybody mixed up with them fellers. First time I remember the fellow was down in Cape Town. Me and George was just buying our supplies to outfit the safari, and he showed up, sort of asking questions about the Kimberley. He was sort of disappointed-like when he found that we wasn't going that way.
Did you ever see this foreign chap in Africa after the Doc's gang cleaned you out in your mines?
Yep, I sure did, Art. You see, I made my way back to Leonda. That's on the west coast, and by river it was lots closer than Cape Town. And by jiggity, there he was, all spruced up like he'd hit a fortune someplace. I never thought no more about him being connected with this gang, though, until Bobby seen him just a little while ago.
Could be that it was just a coincidence, couldn't it?
Well, it would have to be a mighty far-drawn coincidence, Pete.
Yeah, I'll say it would after seeing him every place the smugglers are.
That's just what I'm thinking, and I reckon we ain't so far off their trail right now.
Now, fellas, look here. Suppose that we do run into something up there at the sanitarium tonight. Not that we will, but suppose that we do. What are we going to do about it? Just send for the police or what?
Well, let's dig up the real evidence, Pete, and then you just leave the rest to me.
Mr. Morrison, aren't you really working for the United States Secret Service?
Sorry, Bobby. Well, it's sort of a professional secret. But anyway, even a radio inspector would be interested in this case, if only from the unlicensed radio station angle.
Yeah, I guess that's right, but... Oh, well.
Now, just how are we going to get into that sanitarium without anyone seeing us? I've got a sort of a hunch that Doc Tyler won't be exactly delighted to see us again.
That's right, Pete. And he knows me, too. Now, if we just thought and had Aunt Hattie come along with us.
I don't happen to know the gent, do I, boys?
Say, of course, that's it, Zeb. You don't know him. That is, unless you might have met him in Africa.
No, I don't reckon I ever seen this Doc. And I don't think he's ever seen me.
Yeah, Zeb. Now, that'd get you in. But how about the rest of us?
Well, now, look. At this time of night, there's usually very little going on in the corridors. That is, except around the floor supervisor's desk. So by keeping close to doors and ducking in, if anyone comes in sight, we can all get to the stairs that lead down to the laundry room and into the basement. Oh, do you know anyone that's a patient there right now, Pete?
Sure. Jerry Duffy, one of our weathermen at the airport. He's up there, had a broken leg. But I don't see how that'd get Zeb in. It's after visiting hours.
All right, Zeb goes up to the door. When the nurse answers, he tells her that he was to call for a report form that he was showing your friend Jerry when he called on him this afternoon. Then it's up to him to find his way to the back of the hospital, open a window on the ground floor where we can get to it and get in, and where we can get out quickly, too.
Sure, Art, sure, but just how am I going to know what window to open so you can make it?
Well, you just open or even unlatch anyone that looks okay. It's up to us to be able to get in.
Mr. Morrison, I kind of hate to butt into your plans, but look... why can't Zeb just go to the ambulance entrance? That's in the back, you know. And you never meet anyone until you get on the elevator and go up that one floor.
Bobby, you're all right. That's exactly the thing. Do you think you can carry out your part of it, Zeb?
I reckon I can. Anyhow, I'll give the best try at it you ever seen.
Maybe we'd better park this buggy around here. Won't look right for Zeb to be coming up here in my car. Too many around here know it.
Well, this is just as good a place as any. Now, Zeb, you're sure you've got your part of it?
Yep. I reckon I can go through with it. And I'll find the ambulance door just as quick as I can. I'll see you boys in a few minutes.
Gee, I'll bet you can hear my heart pounding clear over there, can't you, Pete?
It's not pounding anything like it will if Doc Tyler catches us in that sanitarium of his after the way he told us to get out and stay out.
Well, it's going to be up to us not to get caught in there.
How long has Zeb been gone now, Art?
Oh, not over 10 minutes. Probably had to do a little arguing with the night nurse to get in. Might be that she wanted to take him up to the friend's room. I'm hoping for the best.
So am I. But look, Art, about this magic trick that Bobby seems to think that they're using up there to shield the radio room. I can't quite figure out why they'd go to the trouble of using something as complicated as all that, if that is the idea. When all they'd have to do to hide the radio room is to put in a couple of false walls, or if they got in the sub-basement, like this is, just dig out a little more and put in a couple of secret doors.
Yeah, it does look a little funny, doesn't it?
Yeah, but when you stop to think of it, it's not such a bad idea at that. But this room is not being used for a radio room alone, as I get it, but for kind of a workshop as well, and probably one that requires plenty of ventilation. Now, that means that if they tried to conceal it effectively, they would be forced to make it so obvious. Well, to one who has searched homes, those secret panels and false walls are almost self-revealing. But masquerading it as a laundry room, the setup is perfect. For the laundry room is one that requires ventilation. So through a simple twist of the wrist and a few magic words, it's transformed into their workshop, safe from the prying eyes of the federal authorities.
Yeah, a twist of the wrist and a couple of $1,000 worth of equipment.
Well, we won't have long to wait to find out. Hey, there's your friend Shadow on the glass on that door. Come on.
Maybe we'll run right into Doc Tyler and...
Don't worry about that, Bobby. But listen, both of you. If a nurse should see you, just be trying to find your way out of the hospital, understand?
I get it. Here we are.
Come in, fellas, quick. Ain't a soul in sight. Left them all on the first floor up front. Our furrin friend with the limp is in there holding a powwow with Dr. Tyler.
There, I told you. That proves that Doc Tyler's the head of...
Wait a minute, Pete. It don't prove nothing, at least not in my book. They were sort of arguing about the salary this furriner, Tyler called him Hans, gets for tending the boilers here in the hospital.
Tending boilers? But he wasn't tending boilers when I saw him. He was working in that room, the one with the radio. And he had some sort of a small machine.
Well, all I can say is that Tyler ain't knowing anything about what this Hans feller does in his spare time, or else he was putting on a pretty good act for whatever nurses that might be eavesdropping.
Which puts Taylor right back where he was before. Now, let's get down those steps and see about this room. They're right over this way, aren't they, Bobby?
Yeah, that's right. You don't suppose somebody will see us?
Not much chance. Not down here. Unless an ambulance comes in.
I hated to have to keep you fellas waiting like I did. Here, these are the steps down.
Yeah, yeah, take it slow. That light at the bottom is pretty dim.
But you're all right when my eyes get used to this. Think we need this little flashlight?
We might need it later, Pete. Don't use it now. It might give us away.
There. There's the door. And there doesn't seem to be any light coming from under it.
Might be somebody in there anyway. Never can tell about these crooks.
Well, we'll just have to take a chance. Now look, Zeb, you stand right here at the door and listen for anyone coming down those steps. Open it up, Pete.
Dark as a stack of black cats. Shall we go right in?
Might as well. Come on, Bobby. Here's your chance to prove your idea.
Hey, if I hear anybody on them steps, do I come in?
No. I think that's the thing, Zeb. Wait a minute. Where's that flashlight? Pete?
Yeah, here you are. Yeah? It's the laundry room, all right. Nothing but tubs, mangles.
Pete, over along that wall. That's it. Do you see that?
Sure. It's a piece of paper sticking out of a crack in the floor. What's peculiar about that?
Doesn't it seem peculiar that a piece of paper would be sticking from between a crack in the floor that should have been put down many years ago? And that paper's new. Look here.
Let me see it. Gee, it's the day before yesterday's newspaper. And it was caught there like it was there when the... Say, then I am right. That crack there in the floor is the slide that the floor works on.
Yep, Bart. Bobby was sure right about this thing. Look here. You can see some grease of some kind if you look right close. You put there to make the things work easy, see?
And those water pipes on the wall there, they just give the place the illusion of permanency, when as a matter of fact, they never move.
Yeah, but what about one of these rooms is when it's shoved back under the ground? How do you get out?
I'm afraid you don't. That's the object. By moving the room, they avoid the use of false doors and covered openings of any kind. Just leaves no outside trace.
Yeah, but how do they make it move? They couldn't have assistance like they do on the stage.
I suppose they use motors and push buttons or even counterweights. We'll have a look, because they must be able to operate that thing from the inside some way. Put that light over this way.
Somebody's coming down them steps. I closed the door easy-like, and gosh, I'm getting dizzy or something. This floor is moving right. Hey, do you fellas feel that?
Not so loud, Zeb. It's all right. The floor is moving. That's the secret of the room. Whoever's coming is making it move.
Whoever it is will find us in here. We gotta get out.
They won't see us, Pete. See, that wall moves right along with us.
Yeah, but gee, how are we gonna get out?
I'm afraid we won't, Bobby. That is, not until whoever that is decides to leave, which probably won't be long. There, we've stopped.
Maybe it's the limping foreigner come down to check things over.
Being caught in here kind of makes me feel like one of them animals they catch in a pit. Only the pits are open at the top.
I think we're perfectly safe, as long as they don't suspect we're here. I'm going over that wall. We might be able to hear something.
Shh. Yeah, I can hear footsteps. Just one person. There's a switch of some kind. He's turned on a radio.
Maybe he's trying to pick up Jack's plane. Can you hear anything?
Shh. Yeah, there's the hum of a transmitter. We've got the radio spotted, all right, and I can hear him. Listen. Does that sound like Dr. Tyler?
I can hear somebody, but I sure can't tell who it is.
That wall sort of changes the sound, I guess. Sounds like he's getting in touch with some airplane, all right.
Yeah. Listen. TS calling VM. He's calling the transport, all right.
And there's the answer. It's Vic answering. VM answering TS. There. He's asking him something. What is your position, VM?
Shh. There's the answer again. I wish it was louder. You're north coast of South America. Being forced to land first possible place. Something coming out from the baggage compartment. Oh, unable to open inner door. Signed, VM.
Didn't you hear what he said was coming from the baggage compartment? And is hidden in there, Pete?
No, I didn't get it, Bobby. Maybe he said noise.
Nope, I heard it. He didn't say noise was coming from there. What he said was, smoke's coming from the baggage compartment.
Smoke? And from the baggage compartment in which Ann Burton has hidden herself. Will Jack be able to find land soon enough to release her from what may be certain death? Or will a long plume of trailing smoke mark the end of the interstate transport and its four passengers? We know that you'll be tense with excitement and suspense until you hear the next thrilling episode of Anne of the Airlines.